Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
This Friday at 10 o'clock, the Albany Symphony's American Music Festival will host Are We Who Are We, an ongoing collaboration by composer-performers Ted Hearn and Philip White.
A tribute and commentary to both classic and ephemeral artists of the pop landscape. Are We Who Are We uses pop music like graffiti, uses public space, exploiting the tension between theft and tribute.
Composer, conductor, and performer Ted Hearn joins us now. He attended Manhattan School of Music and Yale School of Music and has studied with Martin Bresnik and Aaron J. Kernis and Ezra Letterman and many others. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks. It's my pleasure.
Well, so you're sort of doing double duty, right? You've got this performance on Friday night, and then you're part of the big show on Saturday.
That's right. Actually, I'm wearing many hats up here in Albany this week because I'm also working with the middle schoolers over at Hackett. We're doing a big project, making some tracks with them, and that's culminating this week. And then also, yes, my band Are We Who Are We? We're playing on Friday night. And I've got
so you say that much faster than we can because I'm like not used to it yet.
Yeah,
people
mess it up when they read it. Are We Who Are We? Well, the name of that group, name of our group, comes from our title track, which is the sort of the piece that we formed around, where we decided to cover a song by the artist Kesha.
Yep.
We both like very much. That track is We Are Who We Are. And so the way that we distorted this tune and made it our own was to load it into a piece of computer software and change the order of every beat and every measure. Huh. So we sort of performed it backwards, in a sense. Or every bar was backwards. The beat in every bar was mixed up. And so when we relearned that, I relearned the lyrics and sang it. And when it came out of the garble machine, it said... Are We Who Are We, instead of We Are Who We Are.
Sounds African. So, think about it.
So
it has an African sort of sound.
Are We Who Are We?
Yeah.
Are
We Who Are We?
So, Michael,
heard that one before.
So what are you? I mean, this audience is listening, and they will say, okay, who is this guy? What is he doing?
Well, I'm a musician. I'm a singer and a conductor and a composer. I think you'd say maybe I'm primarily a composer.
And what style, I mean?
I like listening to all styles and seeing how I can integrate them meaningfully into different kinds of work. So the orchestral piece that you'll hear on Saturday, of course, this is an orchestral work. So, it's written for just a standard large orchestra. And much like what we do with Are We Who Are We, I'm taking pieces of pre-existing material and rearranging them, examining them from different angles to create a new work.
Where'd you learn how to do all that?
You know, went to school, been listening to a lot of different kinds of music, and doing what I can do.
A music program? Or?
Yeah, I attended Manhattan School of Music, and then I went to the Yale School of Music.
Yeah.
But mostly, you know, with an orchestra, it's really hard because you don't get much opportunity to write for a group like that because it's so large. So that, I think, just comes from experience in doing it. This is maybe my 7th orchestra piece that I've written.
So does that change? I mean, it's different, right? I mean, is it, it doesn't seem as though you would have the freedom because you're working with more parts.
Oh, yeah. I think writing for orchestra, for me, I found that to be sort of the most restrictive medium in a lot of ways.
And you have to do orchestration and all of that?
Yeah, doing the orchestration. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of parts, but also there's so little rehearsal time because everyone needs to be paid for their time, of course.
Yeah.
So, you know, this piece will be rehearsed for probably an hour or something, and it's an 18-minute piece. And then, you know, every part has to look right, has to be clear enough that every individual musician can practice it on their own and learn it in such a short period of time. So it's difficult.
When you were talking about Are We Who Are We, you used two words that I found interesting, one being garbled, the other being distortion.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come upon that as a way to move forward and to be musically expressive?
Oh, well, Are We Who Are We is about taking pieces of the pop landscape and making it our own, right? And I feel like we have some of this music is so present in our lives, and we don't really have a choice about it. We may like it or not like it.
There, but, whether we want it or not.
Yes, exactly, right? So, but you know, we cover artists that we like. We're not we're not doing it to make fun of music or anything like that.
Right.
But part of it is getting at how can we embody this sound world and still bring some of our own thoughts to it.
So in art, we have appropriation art now.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And is this what you would call appropriation music?
Yes. Yes, I would use the word appropriation in a positive way.
Yeah, no.
To talk about.
Me too.
Yeah, 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 totally. But and the orchestral music as well, you know. I mean, the first movement of my orchestral piece is the last, just the last cadence of Pavane for a Dead Princess by Ravel.
Of course.
And so it's about, I was just thinking sort of poetically about, you know, the idea of memorializing someone or the moment before death, or just trying to go back and remember a life that's no longer there. So I just wanted to take the last few seconds of this piece and find different ways to just linger on that and draw it out as much as possible. So the time is stretched and the chords blend into each other in different ways. And it's a very still piece, but the movement, you know, comes from within. And then eventually, of course, it just slips away and disappears before you even know it.
Because, just like he did.
Just like he did. That's right.
Now you were in San Francisco, I hear, just now, and then Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I live in Brooklyn. Actually,
you have a little bit of a stubble on your face. I was wondering.
Yeah, Brooklyn stubble.
I was
yeah.
wondering if that makes you sort of, you know, a hipster.
Oh, I don't know. I like to live around the hipsters. I wouldn't know if I'd call myself a hipster.
But yeah. Sort of
Yeah.
like an anthropologist.
Maybe. Or, you know, that's where the art is. That's where the art tends to be.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yep. But I do love Brooklyn. But I love it up here in Albany, too. I've been here basically once a month since September.
Gun to the head question. Would you rather live in Albany or in Brooklyn?
Well, Albany has its charms for sure. So does Troy here where we are.
But, you're good, man.
Yeah. Okay. So good. So good. Especially this early
Again. Year. Yep. Yeah. So tell us about Resourcery.
Well, this is my new piece for the Albany Symphony. It's 18 minutes. There's three movements. And
so this is volume one.
This is volume one. Well, this is an idea that I'm into, and I have some different ideas, and I didn't want to, draw it out too long for this crowd with this one piece and bore everyone. So this is 18 minutes. So hopefully I'll have another piece of similar length coming soon.
Is that done, or are you still working?
No, I'm still working on it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the place I started with when I was writing this piece was that every sound that you heard, every bit of musical material was going to come from some place that existed already, and that I was going to be trying to help people look at musical material from new perspectives, and, you know, mess with the material in as many ways as possible, but that the original material, it came from somewhere else.
In coming from somewhere else, so really anything on the landscape is okay for picking, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I find inspiration. I take inspiration from music that I love. So it's music that I like. And this is, you know, this is a piece with a specific instrumentation. It's an orchestral piece. So this draws upon orchestral music.
Is it like wine tasting in the sense of, like, you would like it to have notes of oak or of some other group? Or...
That's an interesting analogy. Yeah. I think that's, you're really onto something thinking about the depth within, you take a glass of wine and you might say, oh, I can taste the strawberry in there or something
right.
like that. I think
you really can't. You just make it.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a wine guy.
Right.
I'm more of a beer guy.
You know
but...
what I mean? But they do it with beer, too.
Right.
It has this. It has a little vanilla. It's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, you could do that with music, too. You can say,
right.
like, oh, this has passion. And it's like, well, what is that? That's your interpretation of
right.
of a sound, really, you know.
But then they can also compare it to other artists. So, it has a little Beethoven, it has mm-hmm, a little mm-hmm. Stone Temple Pilots.
Right, exactly. There you go. And so what does it mean to have a little Beethoven and a little Stone Temple Pilots next to one another? I think that the adjacency of those two things, for me, is where the meaning comes in with the music. So so the second movement of my piece, for instance, I took shards of music that I like, and the shards come from what you might call the climactic point in the form. of the piece. And I put them all next to each other in a way that, you know, is entirely my own. I mean, I arranged them in that way. And of course, the whole piece can't be a climactic moment, you know?
Right.
But I wanted to see what it would be like. I wanted to experiment with removing this moment that was imbued with this meaning of specialness or climax, and take it out of its context and see what that did, you know, and see what that adjacency would produce.
Were you born this way?
No, I think I had it beat into me in all this schooling, probably.
Well, I mean, you know, I've always had the thesis.
There you go. Were you born this way? What the hell's the matter with you? Well,
I was born weird. I will say that.
Obviously, you have a lot of talent.
I don't know about that. I mean,
you know, I can play music. I've played musical instruments all my life. I could never do any of this. None of it. But do you think there's genetic influence in your ability to do this?
I don't know. Well, my mom was an opera singer,
and
she brought the music early on. Yeah.
But I love how you use the word, and you've done this a couple times, of using the word shards.
So you take this.
Because we think of shards of glass, which would imply that it's broken, that it has been taken apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you find those shards? Is it how they land, or is it you're looking for a specific piece that you're like digging out? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the project. You know, for instance, the shards in the second movement of the orchestral piece that I was just talking about, I mean, those come from an arbitrary process, which is, let me find the climactic moment.
Right.
So it's a shard because it is broken, because it's ripped from the original form of the piece. But
take it right out.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
I mean, we would call that in our editing, like head and tailing. You know, head and tail it, and then slap it out of there.
Right. And you know, the whole process is completely inspired by working with computer software like you guys do as well, you know. And as producers in pop music and hip hop do all the time. That's how those are the composers, you know, the producer of a hip hop track is creating sounds from samples, right? And the samples are shards from some other tune that, I mean, they could be ripped because that groove in that one spot from this one Curtis Mayfield track or whatever is perfect for the mood, or it could be from some other arbitrary reason.
Have you ever found anybody who, very quickly, I know just got to go here, but have you ever found anybody who got ticked off when you appropriated them?
An artist who was appropriated? No. But everyone always asks me, like, isn't are you worried Kesha's going to sue you or something? But
right.
But no, I think it's a tribute. Artists have always worked this way.
So, and you made it clear that you only take stuff from people you really admire, right? You like.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me. Yes, I do. Although, I mean, that won't matter legally, of course.
I like you.
No, I like you. I just stole from you. No, but I mean, artists steal from one another to create new work. I mean, they always have done that.
A riff, as it were.
Yeah, a riff, a sample.
Yeah. So, do you consider your audience? Rephrase the question. Who do you consider your audience to be? I mean, are you looking in a classical world? Or are you looking let me put it this way. If you are composing and you have, go back to the old days where you have the physical CD as you have right in front of you, where do we put that in the store?
In the store?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know.
I
haven't been in a CD store in a long time.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I think that it's a really tricky question. I try to communicate to as many different audiences as possible. I mean, you know, this is the Albany Symphony, right? So I'm writing this. The orchestral piece is for the Albany Symphony. And so I know their audience, and I like to think I am writing for that audience, and I want to challenge them. I want to push them. But ultimately, it's an audience that subscribes to the Albany Symphony Orchestra is interested in that, right? And with Are We Who Are We, I think it's a slightly different audience, and hopefully with this project we're finding some of that crossover. But I don't know. That's a very complicated question.
It is a complicated question. You are going to be performing on Friday night after the Dogs of Desire. On Friday night, you're going to be performing at the Arts Center of the Capital Region for this performance of Are We Who Are We, and that'll be Friday night, and then your piece Resourcery will be on the program for the big Saturday night performance here at MPAC with the Albany Symphony Orchestra. And you can find out more information about all of this by going to albanysymphony.com/American Music Festival. Visit Ted's website, tedhearn.com, and you can find out more about his work. And Kajurov, where are you off to next? You're
Next week I'll be doing a show with the Brooklyn Philharmonic and Erykah Badu.
Excellent. So
yeah,
you're
really excited about that.
Like, you have a full slate of stuff. You're a busy guy.
Lucky to be very busy. Yes.
Good for you. Again, tedhearn.com and albanysymphony.com for more information. Ted, best of luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Great to be here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.